The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Tuesday, October 4th, 2022, season 18, episode number 43. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We are presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. It's Tuesday, so we've got a lot of things we're going to hit today, a lot of different topics we'll hit today. Brian's got a game for us, so we'll do a little bit of that and have a little bit of fun. I also have some questions that I'll toss these guys to give us a little bit of a quarter review now that we're about a quarter way through the season. Now it's 17 games. It's not really an even breakdown of the quarters, a quarter of the season, but we're almost there, so we'll give a little breakdown there.
Well, if you just make it 20, you know, just say games? That they're going to play 20 games, then you
I would
can
like
do
that.
It from that
I'm not
standpoint.
Sure the players would like that, but I would like that.
Well, I mean, the playoffs.
You
know, I got three playoff games.
You would like that.
I would like that, yeah. I can't control that, though.
Can't control that.
I would love that. That would be outstanding.
If the season ended today, yeah. I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, if the season ended today, you do know your Cowboys would be in the playoffs.
Probably like a 5 seed, 6 seed.
Yeah, something like that, I think. You know, the interesting part is, and this is kind of dovetails into the topic I wanted to hit first, there would actually be 3 teams from the NFC East in the playoffs.
How about that?
If the season ended today. The Giants would be the 7th seed. The Cowboys, I think, were like the 5th seed. And the Eagles would be, I think, the number 1 seed.
And they're terrible.
Who is?
The Giants.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Eagles. Okay, yeah.
No, Eagles are good.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good the Giants are. But I will say this. Whatever they are, I think they're better than they were last year. Because last year they were losing to bad teams.
Yeah.
At least they're beating bad teams now. So I think that's there's something to be said about that.
Broaddus is... famous line of NFL's a strange lady.
That's it.
It's very. She's really weird this year.
She's strange.
We're still trying to figure out everything. Strange. You know. I mean, but because I don't know how good the Giants are. Who knows how good the Cowboys are? I mean, who knows?
I mean,
but their defense looks pretty good. I'll tell you what else has good defense. 49ers.
Yeah.
Golly.
49ers have always had. They when they're healthy. They just don't know. You just don't know when they're going to be healthy. But when they're healthy, they got a ton of talent on that defense.
So Washington gave up 9 sacks to the Eagles and then played the Cowboys and gave up 2.
Yeah.
And then the Niners, then the Rams gave up 7 sacks to the 49ers. We'll see what happens this game.
Well, here's the deal. Let's be clear. The Cowboys won't sneak up on anybody when it comes to their defensive front.
No.
So every team that the Cowboys play, just like I think the Commanders came into that game with a very clear game plan. We're going to run the ball. We're going to throw a lot of short, quick passes. We are not going to expose our quarterback to getting hit.
Yeah.
And I think the Cowboys can probably expect that's going to be the game plan for a ton of teams that they will play this year because they've already shown teams, if you don't do that, you are putting your quarterback at risk.
It's going to be a real challenge. No, this week is going to be a real challenge, especially when you get embarrassed to just 9 points, I would assume, as a team, especially playing at home, you'll be pretty pissed off and ready to go. So this will be a real test for the Cowboys offense to see how they perform, because I don't think with Cooper Rush, we haven't really seen them play against a team with this type of caliber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the defensive side of the ball, though, too, this is all going to be about, and we'll get into all that, you know, it's going to be about a tight end and a wide receiver, really, for the Rams. Running the football has just been so painful for them, and we'll study more about that this evening. But, you know, it's whoever's got Cooper Kupp in this game, it's going to be an all-day struggle for
all
him.
All day.
And it's going to be 19 targets, and it's going to be you're probably going to get thrown on. You're probably going to get 14 of them caught. It's going to how you're going to defend the other 5. You know, that's how this game could very well play out for you.
Yeah.
Or Tyler Higbee. You know, whoever's going to have to carry Tyler Higbee, the tight end, it's going to be 12 targets for him. So it's going to come down to a couple different players for them.
I think in a weird way, I think it almost hurts their team a little bit. Now, here we are all offseason. Kyle Lamar's got to figure out a way to get CeeDee Lamb the ball. Get your number 1 guys. All the Rams, they get Cooper Kupp the ball. Yeah, they do. But it's almost at a point where like that's all they do and that's all they want to do, and therefore once I mean yeah he got what 14 passes, where'd he go? You know? I mean, like caught
almost
it.
8 yards, 9 yards a catch.
And he gets
hit all
the time. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's just the strategy. Get your number one guy the ball all the time. If no one else can do anything. You know what I mean? I think it's got to be a little bit more balanced. It can't just be dump offs, and let this little guy who's not that big just getting crushed. I mean, Jayron Kearse, if he comes back, Donovan Wilson, those guys would love to be hitting on him all like that.
They used to be able to run the ball, you know, and then they had Odell Beckham too. So you had a weapon to go along with Cooper Kupp.
And they've lost Van Jefferson. He has not yet. But they lost Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
And that was going to be their number two, and he's out now on IR, I think, for slated to return at some point.
Odell hasn't signed?
No.
Odell,
no.
As a matter of fact, he just visited the Giants yesterday.
He was going to see Shepard. He just went to go see Shepard after his surgery. Yeah.
I saw on Fantasy where it was trending where Odell Beckham is now.
Yeah,
people are
New
picking
York
him
yesterday.
Up on Fantasy, so I was like, I don't know why.
He was in New York yesterday. But, I mean, he's still unsigned, but I don't know that he'd be ready.
November,
I think he's not going to be ready until November.
Yeah, that's the earliest,
so
yeah.
It doesn't help him
Cowboys
right now.
Get
and,
on that one.
And I do think there's going to be a lot of conversation this week on not just here, but everywhere. I think a lot of people are talking about the Rams from the standpoint of, is it enough to just have Cooper Kupp? You know, when you got the guy getting, you know, I don't know, 15 targets a game.
Their offensive
at some point,
line.
You got to think, like, what are you going to do offensively other than Cooper Kupp, right?
Yeah. Their offensive line, you know, is really, that's been the biggest problem. Yeah. They've been banged up. They're on multiple centers, multiple guards. They lose an all-pro tackle. You know, now they got Note Boom playing, and he doesn't look really completely ready to take the job. So it's going to be an interesting game from the Cowboys' aspect of attacking the Rams. I mean, if Matthew Stafford is going to throw the ball 48 times and it's only going to go for a little over 5 yards – jeez, give me that all day.
Yeah.
Give me that all day. If it's the same recipe, you just beat the Commanders.
Right.
You know, they threw the ball 40-something times, and they only threw it for 4 yards a completion. Just bring it on.
Without the power running game that Washington kind of has.
Exactly.
So they don't have that. They don't have those guys running.
And quite frankly, I don't think their defense necessarily is a defense
you're
scared of right now.
No sacks for that group.
I don't think you're scared of that defense. So if the offense can do what they've been doing, get them right there around that 20-point range, then, you know, they got a shot there.
The pressure that the Rams, I was looking at some numbers, not that I'm nerding on numbers, but, I mean, just sometimes you do. But the pressures that they're bringing on blitzes and not getting home is alarming. That they're having to bring pressure and they're not getting rushers home. Again, they give up no sacks. I think the 49ers have got a good offensive line, even though Trent Williams has been banged up for them. But yeah, the fact that the Rams get little pressure and, you know, and if you can hold that defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, to no sacks in a game and only 4 tackles, man, sign me up for that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think this is going to be a really fun game. I think that Cowboys have some advantages, obviously, with defense against the Rams offense. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be tough, like you said, Aaron Donald. But also, I mean, this game has been on the schedule since it came out in May. I mean, Cowboy fans will be there.
Home game.
It will be a lot of fans. We saw it with the Chargers, last year. It'll be the same this year. You know, their season, they won the Super Bowl last year, and I'm sure that those fans have, you know, they're selling some tickets. The Cowboys will have a huge crowd. It'll be a really fun, like, bowl game type atmosphere. It'll be really fun.
I made that point yesterday on the radio, and the guys looked at me like, I said, this is going to be a home game for the Cowboys. Watch. And they're kind of looking at me like, what do you mean? I go, that Southern California fan base for the Cowboys is huge. We see it when we go to Oxnard. You understand that. This is their opportunity. Mm-hmm. The Chargers game last year. I mean, the Chargers had to go silent count in the game last year because of the Cowboys fans.
And it was their first game ever fans at SoFi.
Yeah, so I think it's the same thing. Cowboy fans will show up in Southern California. It'll be a good crowd for them.
And I don't know about saying a home game because I did.
I don't care.
Well,
it's
I think it'll be like 50-50. But what happens in those games? We've all been
Texas
to those college
OU.
Games. Yeah, where like the fans bring out the best in each other or worst, but they bring out the enthusiasm in each other. You don't want to be hearing. The Rams fans don't want to be here, and let's go Cowboys. Yeah. So then they start getting in, and then it just makes everything huge. Yeah. It'll be really fun. It's going to be a fun game, and I think the Cowboys can compete. I really do.
The one thing I'm interested in seeing, I agree with you that it'll be a lot of Cowboys fans. I want to see if at all that's affected by the fact that they won a Super Bowl, because I do think that fans can often be, you know, you can have a lot more fans that'll show up when you just won a Super Bowl, right? There are a lot more people who want to jump on the bandwagon at that point. I wonder how much that's affected their fan base in LA to the point where are they now having more people that are going to those games that bought the tickets rather than selling them, let's say, to Cowboys fans. Yeah. So I'll be interested to see. I'm not saying it won't be. I'm just saying I'll be interested to see. I think that's a little bit of a wrinkle there that could change maybe the dynamic of what that game feels like. In typical situations where we've gone to L.A. to play.
Well, they got smoked by Buffalo in opening day. You know, I mean, that was a home loss. It was bad. And sometimes you have some bad losses along the way. That fan base, there's other things they can go do. You know, that's not a fan base. It's like, geez, we got to go to the game this week because we got nothing going on.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, have you thought about going up to Ventura this weekend? I know the Rams are playing, but let's just go up. You know, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, let's go to Santa Barbara. You know, there's things to do in California. Some places you don't have that advantage.
Yep. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I got some questions for these guys. We'll do some first quarter of the season reaction. And then in the final segment, we'll get to Brian's game. We'll do that when we come right back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Back to the break.
Whether you're watching from home or cheering in the stands, Essilor Lenses lets you see every exciting play. Book an appointment. Your local Essilor experts. Find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. Let's do a little quarter review. I got a few questions here that I'm going to throw at you guys on some different topics. Just kind of a let's look and see what you guys think. The first question I have for you is, which free agent loss do you think the Cowboys missed the most? Here are the answers that you can choose from. Randy Gregory, Lyle Collins, Amari Cooper, or none of the above.
It's got to be Amari Cooper. I mean, this team, like, they still lead the league in sacks. They may not now, but they did last week. I don't know if they lead the league in sacks.
Yes, sir. They still do.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I can't say that they miss him then. I mean, and then Lyle, I mean, we saw Lyle's work earlier this year.
Yep.
I mean,
and he's now hurt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which was availability. Remember they kept saying availability. Yep. And I don't know. I saw Randy Gregory's name pop up on something. Is he hurt?
I saw that Randy Gregory was hurt as well. I haven't heard
meniscus
an update
surgery.
On.
Meniscus. He's going to be out 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
They had to get some
2 to 6 weeks.
Cartilage 2 to 6 shaved. Weeks. Yeah. Okay. 2 to 6. Some cartilage shaved or something like that.
It's got to be Cooper then, because the offense. The offensive receivers are doing okay. And Noah Brown and them starting, but I mean, I think Cooper looks pretty good over there too with playing with the backup quarterback. So, I mean, I think the answer there is Cooper.
Yeah, I agree with that. And aside from injury, like just looking at talent wise, what they were bringing to you, and what you currently have, I think that maybe the Cowboys would have won that game for week one against Tampa had they had Amari Cooper in the roster, in the offense. I think the offense would have looked differently. They would have been able to maybe move the ball a lot better and score some points enough for you to get the win, because we know the defense was able to hold Tom Brady down. But despite Noah Brown having a great season so far, showing things that me personally, I didn't think he would be able to take that kind of weight on him, he's been good. But I think that CeeDee Lamb would have kind of stepped up a lot sooner had Amari Cooper been here already. And I know he wouldn't have maybe been the number one receiver, but still, it would have created that balance on offense that you are currently, I feel like, still missing. Because regardless with Michael Gallup being back, it's going to take a couple more weeks for it to hopefully start looking like it's working together.
None of them. They missed none of them. Absolutely none of them. Your point about the receivers stepping up, CeeDee Lamb stepping up, Noah Brown stepping up, you got Michael Gallup stepping back. When we were all in Oxnard, they were telling us, like, why are you guys so worried about these receivers? Don't be worried about these receivers. Don't be worried about these receivers. You know, and we kept asking the question, Washington got hurt. When are you going to get a receiver? Need a veteran guy. They knew where Michael Gallup was going to be in all this. They really, really do. And so to me, I feel like, though, they've got the receivers. I like what you're saying about Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb having to elevate his game. I think that's something that's been a real positive for them. I think Noah Brown stepping up out of the shadow. They tried to make Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson the same guy. No, Cedric Wilson just became a little bit better player. And they went, okay, Cedric, you're our guy. Noah, you're now on special teams. Noah's seen what happened to him last year. He elevated his game, too. He's a guy that you can go out and be reliable. I think his numbers are very similar to what Amari. I think Amari had one catch for 9 yards the other day. His home road splits are still bad. Yeah. And he plays on the road, he's a bad player. At home, he's an all-pro. But see, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, the thing is, as much as I hate...
So he'd be fine this week against the Rams because they're playing at home.
Yeah.
They play home.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to the original conversation.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, to me, as critical as I am with Steele, they're getting away with that. They trust Steele more than they trust Collins. Mm-hmm. The health, he couldn't bend because of the hips. You can't play him at tackle. Well, I mean, you can't play him at guard. Now he's hurt. You know, the reliability factor. And besides, they made that a little personal, in my opinion. Yeah. Not the DallasCowboys.com opinion. Brian Broaddus' opinion, okay? So, to me, they're looking at Randy Gregory. They figured it out. They went out and got Fowler. They got Armstrong. Armstrong, with this coaching, has gotten better. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gotten better with this coaching. It's proven that, you know, they wanted to sign Randy Gregory. His agent didn't allow him to sign here.
Yeah.
His agent says, well, I'm going to shop this deal to Denver and see what we get. You know, Randy, you know, Jerry Jones is talking about, well, you got 3 for 1. That's a good, you know, but in reality, they wanted to sign Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
They don't miss any of these players right now.
You know, you got to factor in, too. You can't just say, well, put Amari Cooper on this team, because now they still have some money available. But when you go and look at, you know, Jayron Kearse that they added, and Malik Hooker, and Leighton Vander Esch, and Dorrance Armstrong, and Fowler, and Brian Anger, and, you know, they added all of these other guys in here that I don't know if you can get all of them with just keeping the $20 million tag, which Cooper said he would bring it down a little bit, but, you know, if they wanted to do that. But still, you know, if you're going to sign these guys, you don't have the depth at some of the other positions. I still think you can get some of them, but not all of them. And I think depth at safety, depth at defensive end is helping this team thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's I agree with you, Brian. I don't think they're missing any of them. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you had Amari Cooper's talent, on paper, you are a better team. I get that. I think that ultimately, I actually like the idea of forcing CeeDee Lamb to step up his game.
I do
as you're saying, Amber.
I do
and too. So for me, that's actually a positive. If it's going to make him, and by the way, if we're starting to see signs that maybe he's going to do that, we won't know until the season is done whether he really did that and really asserted himself to be the number one guy, and he is among those receivers in the league that are number one receivers. But I do like the idea of forcing him to do that and not letting Amari Cooper be a crutch for him.
I've got to figure out if I got to pay CeeDee Lamb here soon enough. If you have, to your point, which I thought was really, really good, and it to me, if I can't figure out what CeeDee Lamb is, his numbers are good the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like killing him because of his numbers. I'm like,
he led the team last year.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Look at the numbers. And so to me, that's where I got to figure out. I'm not willing. This receiver market is crazy with the money they're spending for guys. You know, that guy from Arizona leaves and goes to Miami or
Jacksonville.
Yeah, excuse me, Jacksonville.
Christian Kirk.
And I'm like, what?
Was he? Yeah.
What? You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, no, I need to figure this thing out before. Show me that you're the guy. Show me I can rely on you. If not, I'm going to go get another guy. But I can't give a guy $20, $25 million just on hope.
No.
You know, I got to give it on the performance. And people out there right now are going, whoa, Broadus, they've given money to guys on hope before. You know, I think this organization's in a different mindset with that now. I think if they go, if you go back and look at, and this is again me talking, the Zeke deal and other deals, they might have been not so willing to step up the way they did. You know, they moved on from Jalen Smith. They moved on from him.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Quinn, somebody went in and said, this cat can't play. Can't play. Why'd you give him $9 million? He can't play. You know, some, and they said, okay, you're right. Boom, move on. So I think we're maybe getting a little bit of a trend of that, of guys moving on from guys.
All right, here's our next question. If you could sign one upcoming free agent to a new deal right now, who would it be? I'll give you a few names. Actually, they got a lot of guys that are on this list of free agents for next year. But Cooper Rush, Donovan Wilson, Noah Brown, Terrence Steele, Brett Maher. If you could sign one of them right now, and it could be for different reasons. It could be because you feel like if you do it now, you get a better deal. But if you could sign one of those guys right now, who would it be?
Man.
You said Rush, Brown.
Rush, Brown, Wilson, Steele, and Maher.
All right, I could sign him right now.
You can sign him right now.
Cooper Rush. Because I'm signing my backup quarterback and not having to deal with trying to get another backup quarterback. I think it's Cooper Rush. If you can get him. Now, he would need to fire his agent for doing that.
Yeah.
his agent would be an idiot to do that right now. But, I mean, yeah, that would be my guy.
Well, if you gave him enough money, I think.
Sure. You could definitely do it. Yeah. But, I mean, right now, I mean, I haven't lost as a starter. So there's teams in around the NFL that are like, oh, I would like quarterbacks that win. You know, and so, and I know it's not just him. It's not. He even said it. That's what I like about him. He says it. It's the defense.
Yeah.
It's so defense. I like that he's aware. You know, quarterbacks need awareness, and he's aware of everything.
I think I agree with that. I would probably do him because I know how difficult we've seen it happen here, how difficult it is to have a capable backup quarterback. And he's a guy that, although the offense hasn't been explosive whatsoever and scoring a bunch of points or anything like that, he's played very clean. He's made his game look very clean. And to me, everything that he's shown so far and the way he acts after the game, he's just so humble about everything. I'm becoming a fan again of Cooper Rush and what he brings to the table.
In this scheme, I think you sign Cooper Rush. If they change coaches, I don't know if I would do that. But it's for right here, right now. I think I would go with Wilson is who I would go with because I trust what Dan Quinn's going to do with him. I think you're going to see this. I think you're going to see Curse play down, Wilson and Hooker play deep, and I think you're going to play Wilson as a robber. And I mean a robber, like a guy that plays in the middle between like the linebackers and the safeties. And when the people are trying to run all this crap, it's crossing and all that, you got a guy that can go and react and go get the football, knock people out in the middle of the field, make it difficult to catch the ball. Hey, I got a matchup against a tight end. You know, we'll let Curse play the run because he's a bigger guy and he can tackle really well. Wilson can cover. We've seen him run like heck to cover the back, you know, third of a field. I think, man, this team has chased safeties forever. They finally figured it out. They finally figured it out. You know, it took George Edwards saying, hey, this Kearse guy can play a little bit. There's not a scout in the league that would have told you that Kearse can cover and play down and do all those things. As long as Dan Quinn's the defensive coordinator here, give me all his guys. Everybody he wants to sign that he plays in the scheme, give me all those cats. Because I know that that's going to be worth my money. I really do.
I would actually say Cooper Rush, but I'd say him for a little different reason. The way I look at this is having a quarterback that's a backup quarterback that can play and that teams think is a good, let's just say he's a good quarterback, there's value for that.
Sure.
You might be able to turn that around and leverage that in a trade where maybe now you're talking a significant trade option. Like literally, I don't know if a team's willing to give me a one, but maybe they're willing to give me a two.
But they give you, if you, would you take a four right now?
Right now, no.
Okay, because this is a game I play on 105.3, the fan called my gang of seven, which are general managers and guys, old crusty guys I worked with throughout the league. There was three of them. Five of them got back to me. One of them said, nah, I wouldn't give anything. Another guy said, I'd give you a five. The other three said they would give me a four. That's where they're at right now.
And question would be, are those teams that need
they
quarterback
need a
bad?
Quarterback. Yeah. Okay. One of my guys is like, He's right now working guys out, kind of a deal. So, you know, but he said, he's like, three of those guys said a four. Now, before the season in training camp, Ambar, I go, Ambar, Cooper Rush, I could get a fourth round pick for him right now. What are you going to say?
Do it.
Sign me up.
There you go.
Do it.
I mean, we're out
where
there.
Do
yeah,
I sign?
We're like,
I mean, frankly, there was a lot of conversations. Will
I would
a better,
hang up.
A better
I would hang up right now if it's not
too.
A first.
I would too, because I will tell you this.
Yeah, you guys are hard to deal
with.
No,
but
no,
think about this.
No, well,
when
the
is
second round,
greatest?
Yeah. The second round is a wash.
Sure.
What guy with a torn ACL with character issues are we going to get from the second round? You know how Jerry drafts the second round, so that I don't want that. But I'm just saying, I can't. What if Dak hurts his thumb again? And it's like, well, who's the backup? Like, well, we got Will Greer or somebody.
Yeah.
Could have been Cooper Rush, but. We sure did get Jake Ferguson, though.
No, you just don't do it during the season. You don't.
No, I mean, I got a fourth-round pick. I mean, like, I always think of, like, the worst fourth-round picks. Yeah. Not Dak, but I think of the Charles Tappers. Like, what if you traded for a fourth-round pick when you have a backup that can come in and play?
See, but I'll tell you this, though, Brian. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Is his value greater now, or is his value greater at the end of the season? I actually think you may actually sit on that now. At the end of the season, when teams are trying to reevaluate what they're going to do at their quarterback position, you might actually be able to get a really good draft pick.
But the trade deadline,
So you got to wait to the season, and you get that close to the season, the agent's like, no. Well, I mean, if he signed, then you could do that. But like his agent is not going to do that. Like
Okay, so let me ask you this: if you went to his agent right now and said, "We're willing to pay him $25 million for three years,"
okay, that's cool, but. Your draft pick then better be close to that.
Well, look, this is the way I look at it. Let's say he's willing to take that $25 million for 3 years, right?
Okay.
The way I look at that is if I then get to the offseason and I'm willing to now trade him, how many teams that by the way, they're bringing him in to be their starter.
Yeah.
They're now getting a 3 year starter for $25 million a year. That is a bargain of a deal. Well,
then they're gonna have to trade a good pick for it.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my point. So now I've created the leverage for me to get an even better pick in the offseason or heading into the next season.
Okay.
You know.
Then again, he fires the agent because because if you don't do that and then teams are still wanting you in free agency, they're not going to get you for $8 million a clip. They're going to get you a lot more than that.
Well, but here's the thing. That's all a bet. Right now, the value is high enough where if I go to him right now, it's that, do I want to get paid now and secure myself now?
That's why I love football.
Can we just enjoy the now?
No, I know.
Enjoy
this is
the
why
now.
I love football.
Talk about some
it's
quarterback
fun.
Controversy.
Because
let's just
the owner wants
that.
Quarterback controversy.
I'm getting rid of the quarterback controversy. Like I want next year, he doesn't need to be here. Like give me another guy.
That's the thing about it is if you don't do anything with Cooper Rush and he then goes on, you don't sign him back, and he goes and has some success. You could likely get your third or fourth on the compensatory pick side of things.
It's true.
So you have to determine if you feel like that. Listen, I could if he signs a big deal, I'm likely going to get a third. If he signs a good deal, I'm going to probably get a fourth. So you got to determine: do you want to play the compensatory game to protect yourself in case something? Now, there's people that will tweet at me and say, "Dak's injury prone."
Yeah,
Dak's injury prone, Brian. I'm telling you, Dak's injury prone. So to me, I'm kind of taking the San Francisco approach, even though they wanted to start Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I'm keeping Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. You know,
is there a big difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Cooper Rush?
I would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Because I heard somebody say, I saw somebody
Jimmy
say
Garoppolo's
on Twitter,
won like 40-something games, I think.
Yeah. I mean, but I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, honestly, I don't know that there's a big difference between those two players.
You know, Stafford tried to throw, was it safety that dropped the ball for the 49ers. I mean, they catch that ball, the 49ers are through. They're into the Super Bowl, and they might beat the Bengals.
Yeah,
you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Every time anybody says, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm the Giants. I'm going, what do you want for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I've never thought
he's not a bad player
at all. When you put things around him, when you block for him, when you run the ball, you know, he's not going to mess it up totally.
He tried against the Cowboys, though. Remember, he threw a pick and... Yeah.
He tried.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to get them back in the game.
But then they moved on and beat Green Bay, you know, or whoever.
In the snow,
No, that was the week before. Week after, right, yeah.
All right, real quick, let's get one more before we take our final break. and I'm going to take this from Nick. Nick threw this out there yesterday. I thought it was a good question. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the bigger – who's been the bigger surprise, Brett Maher, Cooper Rush, or Tyler Smith?
I mean, I think we could probably – sidestep Rush, don't you think? I mean, isn't he the obvious here? Because we kind of talked about it.
When you start painting the
biggest
picture,
surprise,
Maher was not even on a team in training camp, and the Cowboys had already been there, done that, and brought him back. And for him to be doing what he's doing now,
just go back to training camp. Yeah. You and I are sitting there. Yeah. I'm like, I bet you Maher makes 5 of his first 6 kicks, hits a couple 50 yards, and a game winner. Like, really? Like, okay. I bet you that Cooper Rush comes in and wins all 3 of his starts when Dak's hurt and creates a quarterback controversy. You'd be like, what did you drink last night? Are you drinking now?
First of all, he's not created a quarterback controversy, but I get your point.
Well, I mean, no, his owner is. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So
kind of crawfish from that statement.
I think that's just the biggest one. I think if you said, I'm not trying to change the game.
No, that's fine.
Isn't Cooper Rush the answer?
Absolutely. I remember very clearly after the game, everybody surrounding Jerry Jones outside the locker room, and you hear him say he's going to go under surgery or something, and everybody's like, what? Like, panic mode. Like, what are we listening? And immediately.
It was a gut punch.
Because of how that game went down and everything that we saw there on the offense, you immediately thought, man, that's it. Like, there goes the season. There goes another year. And surely, I was one fighting or saying I want Will Greer to go in there. Why Cooper Rush? Why? He's looked terrible. Like, you know, and I've had my roller coaster with Cooper Rush. But lately, mine was all the way down. I'm like, I'm not up for Cooper Rush. So the fact that he went in there and he's done it so effortlessly in a sense and so clean and just so poised and composed, I think has been really a huge surprise to me.
I wasn't surprised about Tyler Smith because I do have the advantage of seeing him like for the draft show and stuff like that. To Ambar's point, that night after Tampa and Jerry standing there giving us like the doctor medical report that he's given, and then you know that Curse is leaving the building too on crutches, and you're thinking, our best offensive player, our best defensive player, Lehman, one of our best, you know, I mean.
And after this game.
Yeah, and you're like going, well, and 15 text messages or tweets at me, Broadus, when's Derek going to start the draft show? Broadus, when's, you know, this is week 1.
Yeah.
So I'm on the roller coaster with Ambar. I'm strapped in, hands up, screaming over the hill because I'm yelling for Will Greer, Will Greer. I'm doing that. Because in training camp, I'm not, you know, I'm watching you guys do your work at Broncos practice. I'm watching you do your work at the Charger practices and stuff like that. I'm going, this doesn't sound very good. And then I'm doing the games, you know, I'm doing broadcasts of games. I'm like going, throw it, throw it, throw it, you know, that. And he's holding it and getting sacked and getting hit. And you're like going, why? Why? And I was thinking about, when am I going to start watching tape? When am I going to start watching college tape? And it was that. I think it's Cooper Rush. I knew the Maher one. I give the organization credit on that one because that to me is so Cowboy front office.
Take out Cooper Rush and put Noah Brown in, and then let's play the game. Sure. Noah Brown, biggest surprise. Noah Brown, Maher, or Tyler Smith?
Maher.
Noah Brown for me. Yeah. I mean, I was ready to cut the guy already too. Like he's been here so long, you tend to forget about him. Mm-hmm. He showed some things last year with Dak and all that, but even then, step up to that role? I really didn't. I mean, we've seen him make some really good catches. At times, I would think he was Dez Bryant when Dez had just left. You would watch him from the press box, and you're like, "Oh, is that Dez? Oh no, that's Noah Brown." But it was. I just didn't see him being so good as he's been so far.
But you see it every year at training camp.
Yeah.
It's like we call it all Oxnard.
Yeah.
All Oxnard. Nick every time would go, need 10 names from you. Let's rate them 1 to 10. Who's had the best camp? Noah Brown, number four.
Noah Brown, yeah.
It's always Noah Brown, number four.
And then we get to the season, and it just goes away.
Leaves the team in special teams tackles.
Yeah. You know? It's like the thing with Cedric Wilson. They were trying Noah Brown, Cedric Wilson, Noah Brown. And then all of a sudden, Cedric Wilson says, I'm going to go get paid from the Dolphins. I don't know what you're doing. You know, kind of thing.
I'm going to get a one-year deal.
Yeah.
I think it's Noah Brown for me. I mean, Tyler Smith's been – I mean, just the fact that he's moved around and didn't even practice at left tackle, that's amazing, too. All of it's amazing.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not amazing, their first-round offensive linemen are money. That's the thing. Anytime they draft a first-round lineman, that one –
Have they missed on any of them? I'm trying to think.
No.
Have they missed on any
Hell
of them?
Hell no, they haven't. Yeah. Hell no.
And there are some misses. Don't get it wrong.
No, they'll miss in the second round.
I'm saying throughout the league.
Yeah.
To look at first round offensive linemen, teams miss.
Talk to the Giants. Talk to the Giants about that. Yeah.
Anytime you pick in the late first round, the 20s, nothing's a guarantee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been very impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We got about 5 minutes.
Oh.
Brian's going to rush through this game.
Okay.
We're going to see how many
we can get. Save it for tomorrow, maybe?
Maybe we save it for tomorrow. That might be a good idea because I do have a couple more questions. Maybe we'll come back. We'll figure it all out. We'll be right back. DallasCowboys.com Radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender, credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Back to the break.
NFL Plus is here, which means no matter where you are, this is how you football. Get live, local, and primetime regular season postseason games on your phone or tablet, game replays, and more. Go to plus.nfl.com and start your free trial at NFL Plus today.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of the Break Live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We are presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And we're going to postpone Brian's game. We're going to push that till tomorrow.
I'm going to work on it a little bit more.
All right, good.
Make it a little tougher. So there we go. Fight, a little more fighting going on.
I do have one more question for you guys, though, in our quarter review. Tell me what was the best performance from an individual player so far in the first four games. We've got Tank Lawrence versus the Giants. He had six tackles and three sacks.
Player or coach?
We have.
Two? Huh? Can you include a coach in there, too?
Or yeah. I'm going to give you my three, and if you got one you want to throw in, you say, this is my answer, that's more than okay.
Okay.
Micah Parsons versus Cincinnati, he had four tackles and two sacks in that game. Noah Brown versus Cincinnati had five catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. What do you think had the best performance so far this season in the first four games?
For me, it's Micah against Cincinnati. It's one of the best performances I've seen any defensive player have since I've covered this team. So Micah against Cincinnati, I thought, is completely a game wrecker.
Yeah, and it didn't show up in the stat sheet all the time.
Not all the time, much of an impact if you watch the game, you know, people were like, "Where was he that good?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you watched the game."
Yeah,
because if you didn't,
he was excellent.
If you didn't watch the game and really focus on the second half, you would have been like, "He was amazing."
Yep,
that's my pick.
That's a tough one because I think everything comes down to Micah Parsons, because everything comes down to what the defense is doing, and what the defense is doing relies on what Micah Parsons is doing. So, like, initially I'm thinking, okay, Noah Brown, because the offense, like, wasn't, you know, you need the offense to be able to get you somewhere too. But the only reason the offense has been able to stay in games is because of the defense. So it's just automatically Micah Parsons 1,000%. I do like the other options, but I don't think they're that close to him.
All right, Brian?
Man, I go back to that week two matchup against Cincinnati, and it's Noah Brown. Noah Brown had he was 5 for 5 on targets and catches. Go back and look at every one of those catches and how important they were. Mm-hmm. Third down catches, fourth down catches, deflected ball catch. Keep a drive going to go for the game-winning field goal. It came out to, and I looked at the numbers, it was 18 yards a reception in that game. He played 85% of the snaps in that game, too. If you don't have Noah Brown on the field, and I love Micah Parsons. You usually say that when you're trying to sell something, but you love what another guy did. And Parsons, but you expect that from Parsons. Mm-hmm. You really do. You expect Parsons to go out there and just wreck shop, as we like to say. But Noah Brown in that game, those five receptions, I would beg you to find a bigger, more clutch game from a Cowboy player in a while than that.
But you know what? I've been wondering, because last game I saw Micah just a little kind of tired for a little bit. I'm not saying, and hopefully nothing happens to him, but I've been wondering, we do give Dan Quinn so much praise into what he's doing with all the talent on the defense and all that, but how do you think this defense would actually look without a Micah Parsons?
I'm glad you did that, because I was driving in on the way and I thought, could you survive these games without Micah Parsons?
I don't think so.
No.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Amber.
Parsons, most valuable player on this team?
Without a doubt.
It's not even a question. Once again, the only reason your quarterback has been able to win these games is because he doesn't have to score a ton of points to do it. That's because the defense is holding these teams to very, very small numbers. That doesn't happen without Micah Parsons.
And I said that last year after Thanksgiving. I remember telling Derek in the press conference, press box, I think Micah Parsons is the best player on this team. If you have him, you have a shot. And I believe it even more now, because that's just how more versatile he is. He's shown.
Do you think Dan Quinn can manage to make something out of the defense
No. I'm not saying that. Like, Dan can still get a good defense out there and get him to play good for a game or two.
But you better have Dak.
That's my point. You better score some points.
Yeah.
Like, think about last year.
Yeah.
Even though Micah had a good year last year, I think he's been more impressive this year than last year, because basically they've decided, have you seen him line up at linebacker much? It's because they're like, this guy's a pass rusher. He's going to get the quarterback almost every play.
I think they got better players today than they did last year.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Better defense.
I would, knock on wood, I would never want to weather that storm, but I have that much faith in Dan Quinn. I have that much faith that, I get my quarterback back, right? I mean, that's I have to have my quarterback to be able to survive
Wait, Cooper Rush is not enough?
I don't know. I mean, this guy's going. I don't think they lose Micah Parsons and win three straight.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
The reason why
Cooper looks like he looks is because he only has to make sure he doesn't mess it up, and he's making a few throws a game to get you. But without Micah, you need more than that.
I'm on your side, okay. Literally. Like I'm saying, that's what I'm saying.
I thought you were attacking me, Derek.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Micah Parsons is more valuable because if they lose him, I don't think that Van Der Esch just steps into the Cooper Rush role and they win three straight. And we're talking about, what do you do with him? Do you re-sign Van Der Esch? No. I think losing Micah Parsons. I said it before the season started.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Dak and Micah Parsons both play every game this year, they will be in the Super Bowl. Well, I don't have to worry about that. But I'm just saying, but it really is more Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm
glad you asked that question because I was thinking about it. I really was.
Dan Quinn is a phenomenal coach in my opinion.
All to be on the defensive staff.
You saw the difference when he came in here versus the year before of how much of a difference he makes with this defense. Like it's
Mike Nolan?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big difference. This guy knows what he's doing.
Here comes a butt.
No, it's not a butt. I'm just saying
he is a
phenomenal defensive coordinator. And at the end of the day, like I trust that he's going to make this defense play good football.
Yeah.
Without Micah Parsons, can you be great? That's the point. And you got to be great if you don't have your quarterback. I just don't know.
No. You got to be great anyways. Because, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, Dak needs some help, and he needs help. They needed to be great against Tampa Bay.
That's nice to say, but last year he won a ton of games with a good defense. That wasn't a great defense last year, and he won a ton of those games.
And where did that get you? That's the point.
No, we're not talking about the playoffs. We're talking about getting through the season.
I know.
I'm on your side.
As a team, they needed to be more competitive against the better teams. It wasn't just Dak. It was the whole team.
Exactly.
The defense, too. So that's, they had a favorable schedule last year, and it played out, and it worked well for them. This year, not so much. I mean, they have to play first-place schedule. And first-place schedule is more than it was last or a few years ago, because you play 17 games. Now you play
pick up Cincinnati.
Now you play three winners, three extra number one teams from the year before. And so that's something the Eagles don't have this year. Yeah. They may have it the next year, but they don't have it this year.
They've already played. They played, obviously, the Rams would be that they played this week. Who are the other teams?
Cincinnati would be, because you played the
AFC.
Yeah, AFC North.
Yes, you already hit that one game.
Tampa.
You won it.
Yeah.
Tampa.
You had Tampa. You won. I mean, you lost that one.
Yeah.
And now you got the Rams coming up. They got one more, right?
Well, you play the NFC North.
The NFC North.
Which
gotcha.
Is, you know,
you'll
so
get Green
so,
Bay.
So of those three games out of the difference makers, you're 1-1 right now.
Yeah,
right.
You could be 2-1. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And the Eagles are playing the number two team.
They got one more win than you do, right? And maybe that's the difference, right?
It could be.
All right. We appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to jump into the Rams. We'll going to jump into the Rams offense versus the Cowboys defense. Still in for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break. Live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?